The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, the Burt Show.
He wants to know why he got ghosted. Everything was great. We'll try to get him some answers here in just a couple of seconds. Sure, petty is immature, but sometimes it feels good. This was starting to make its rounds yesterday or a couple of days ago online. So this guy, I guess he's in a marriage, and wife ends up having an affair with somebody in the office. So she's moving out of the house, and this dude hires a mariachi band to be behind her as she's moving out. Every room in the house, every item she's taking for hours and hours, there's a mariachi behind her playing.
You know what? That level of petty, I bow down to. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. All right, Stuart here is confused. Here we are talking about dating apps, and we're talking about confused guys and dating, and this might have been perfectly placed this morning. Hey, Stuart, you got ghosted, and you can't figure out why, and you want our help to figure it out for you.
Yeah, that's right. I would definitely like to figure out why I haven't heard from her.
Okay, what's up?
Well, I met her on a dating app, and we talked for about a week, and we were bonding over our love of live music and food trucks, and we thought we'd go out on a date, and I suggested this great place, a trendy outdoor food truck park where we could try different things, grab drinks, listen to the local band that was playing. They were super good. And I thought the conversation flowed great. She laughed a lot. We shared food, and she even suggested we grab dessert together at the end of the night. And honestly, from my perspective, there were no awkward silences. I thought we had chemistry, and I even walked her to her car, and she gave me a big hug goodbye, said she had a good time. And I fully expected to hear from her again. But just since then, she hasn't responded to any of my texts, and I can't figure out what I did wrong.
Well, I mean, out the gate, like initially listening, it sounds like you curated the date. And like as far as your likes, the fact that you bonded over live music and food trucks. So you're like, why not go to a food truck park and, you know, with live music? So it seems like you had the right setup. You can't think of anything conversation wise, anything that may have happened between you guys arriving at the food trucks to when you departed, a friendly hug. I'm not even going to dismiss the hug because I don't think a kiss is necessary on the first date. So I don't think the hug is like the telltale sign that she had a horrible time. I think some people just move a little slower when it comes to PDA or being demonstrative.
Yeah, no, I wasn't expecting any kind of kiss or anything like that. No, uh-huh. I was very respectful and. And yeah, as far as conversation goes, we had great conversations. We were chatting the whole night.
It's got to be so deflating when you're with somebody for so many hours and you're really feeling this chemistry, and then you leave it right there and you're all excited for the next date, and then there's just nothingness. And I also, again, will say it's just cowardly. It's never been easier to tell somebody you don't want to hang anymore. All you got to do is send a 3-second text. So
yeah,
the fact that you're not even gutsy enough to do that really speaks volumes.
But I totally agree. I think clarity is kindness. And I think, like you said, all it takes is one text just to let somebody know where you're at so they're not left confused. But like, I really need you to dig deep and think about this date, because I feel like every time we get these people on the phone, we're like looking both ways, left, right. Okay, chemistry was good. They're respectful. They talked all night. And then we walk into the street, we get hit by an airplane. He's like, oh, I forgot that I wore my rat tail out to the date. I didn't realize she would find that to be a turnoff.
Now, I love what you just said, Abby, that clarity is kindness, right? And like ghosting, like there's no reason to do it. I'm going to play devil's advocate or defense attorney here, right? So, yeah. It's one date. What do you really owe somebody after one date? Yes, they spoke for a week, but also we just did this on the show where a woman tried to kindly turn a guy down and he responded and went off the rails and like completely obliterated her with his words.
I think it's easy to take an example like that and blow it up and say that it's the vast majority when it's not.
But maybe just trying to have her back. Mm. Maybe she has experienced that. And maybe she's had bad interactions when she's reached out to dudes and said, hey, the vibe is just not vibing. I'm not into you. If she's had bad reactions, then I don't blame her for not like telling guys that she's not interested.
Yeah, we don't know the history.
As somebody who has sent out several rejection texts over the last couple of years of just being like, hey, I don't really feel this, and running it by ChatGPT to make sure that it's nice and it's well proofread. That is a huge fear on a woman's part to be like, I don't know how this guy's going to take it. Yeah. Is he going to start taking shots at me now because he feels rejected? So okay, I wouldn't blame her for being a little scared and running away.
That's fair.
I still think you should say something, though.
Stuart, hang with us for a couple of seconds here, because Tommy reached out to her. You want to take it from here, Tommy?
I did. And it's amazing how two different people can see the same date differently, because one of the words she used to describe the date was painful.
Ooh. Okay. Do you even want to hear the rest of it?
What?
Painful. Painful, she says.
I'm confused. Why'd she say that?
Okay. We got an email from her and we'll read it to you, okay?
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay.
It's like, I don't know if I'm
maybe not. Yeah.
You called us.
Aboard mission. Aboard mission. And second date update is next.
Hey, the Bird Show.
Little buddy Stuart here is kind of confused, man. So he goes out on this date. He has a great time with this girl, man. They do the food truck thing. They're listening to music. He feels like they are vibing the entire time. He goes home excited. I have found Mrs. Wright. She's not returning anything. He got ghosted, right? And he hasn't been able to figure out why. Do I have that right?
You do have that right.
Okay. Stuart, you're confused. The last thing that we left you with was Tommy's really sweet tease, which was she says she's seen this, she sees this date completely different than you do. She used the word painful, my dude.
Yeah, real sweet.
Yeah, she's a sweetie. All right, so Tommy, where's the disconnect here? Now, you reach out to her, she gives you an email, is that what's up?
Yeah, I reached out to her via email, and it didn't take long for her to hit me back. I explained what we're doing, who I am, what we're doing, and we're doing second date update, and she went out with this guy, they did the food truck thing, listened to some live music, he thought it went great. Obviously, she didn't, what's up? And she hit me back, and I have the email from her. And it says, hey guys, so here's the deal. He was really nice, and the date was fine. There wasn't one major infraction that completely turned me off. It was just a bunch of little things that added up after a while.
I don't know which is worse here. It wasn't one thing. No. It was just a whole bunch of little things.
I don't know which one is the lesser of two evils there.
For starters, the whole food sharing situation, which I believe Stuart said they shared some food from the food trucks. He kept ordering everything for the table and then reaching over to grab off my plate without even asking.
What does that mean, order for the table? He ordered for both he and she?
I think the underlying message there is like, we're going to share this.
Oh, okay, and that's like a major offense?
Yeah, I bought us some food and I thought we were sharing.
Is that a major offense?
No, I don't think so. I actually love that because I love a little nibble. I have like food ADHD. I want to try everything.
Well, some people are particular about sharing food. Like if you're going to like share food, I actually think that's kind of intimate. Like I typically don't share food with strangers. Like if we're at a restaurant, we get an appetizer, you take it off the plate, put it on your plate. But in a food truck situation, both your hands are going into the same food. So I mean, if you're a germaphobe, I can see how that could be off-putting.
Okay, she did say it was a lot of small things. I would consider this a small thing, not yeah. one thing you would go like, I am never seeing him again.
That's, I mean, she said there was not one major infraction. It was just a bunch of little things right. that added up.
My wife, Renee, try and grab something off my plate. She might lose a finger.
just a finger?
Right, so that's one paper cut. That hurts right. a little bit, but what's the next one?
Well, not done with that yet. She said, normally, that might just be annoying, mm-hmm. but he also had a little something suspicious going on with his lip. So, yeah, not exactly appetizing. So I don't know if you had, like, a fever blister or some...
Or a herp.
No, man. I got a birthmark on my mouth, all right? I don't like to lead with it, but, yeah, it's kind of got a reddish hue to it.
So she thought it was, like, some kind of herp. Okay, so she's turned off by that.
No, right. No.
Continue. No,
I've had that since I was born.
God, you have to like tell people that? Like, are you self-conscious of it? And if you haven't been, you are going to be now. Is that yeah. something you tell people? Like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, before I case you, that this thing's just a mole.
Am I supposed to put like a close-up of it on my profile?
Yeah, be like, this is a birthmark
right.
okay. with an arrow.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, yeah. Well, how would that fly?
If what?
If I did that.
I actually find it amusing. I would laugh at that.
Clarity is kindness.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead, Tommy.
All right, so the next thing. Then the band. Live music was fun at first, but he kept yelling Freebird at them. Once.
Are you that guy?
Once funny, the 10th time, here's where it comes in, painful.
Stu, were you yelling Freebird at the band?
Are you that guy?
I knew they knew the song. I've seen this band before. I knew they had it.
Tommy,
in their pocket.
For Stewie, Freebird!
Yeah, man.
There it is.
Freebird is... Freebird is what Stuart's about
you know
to be. Do we get off this call?
Yeah, I think like you got... Are there more here, Tommy, or is that it?
No, there's more.
Oh no.
Okay.
Here's the one. And on top of all that, he wanted to be best buds with literally everyone we passed.
Well, heaven forbid he's polite and kind.
He was striking up these long personal conversations with random strangers at the food trucks, and I just felt like I was tagging along instead of actually being on a date. And the last thing she says... He's not a bad guy. He's just a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, too much.
All right, so let me say the same thing to you that I say to, and it's mostly that women that are getting ghosted, and I say the same thing to them. There's somebody somewhere out there that loves food trucks, mm-hmm. that loves that you're the one that ordered for her, and we're eating out of the same thing. She finds it very amusing that you are screaming, Freebird! Skinner! Or whatever. And she likes the look of herpes. She's out there. These were her icks, but that does not make you one major ick. You know what I'm trying to say?
I totally agree. And I've had to express this so many times when I'm telling my friends about like dates that I'm like, yeah, he was great. He's an awesome guy. He's just not my guy. Like all of the things that you did aren't some kind of like moral infraction. Like, right. you know, you wanting to share food isn't some kind of big ick that I think you need to like be aware of. But I think women are very intuitive when they go out on dates and they just kind of realize like, even though he's a lovely dude, I just don't feel like he's the person for me. And that's really hard to put into words.
Yeah, dude, blow this one off. She's just not the right one for you. Don't take it personally.
Well, I appreciate y'all translating her silence. And that makes a lot of sense. I guess I'm just going to keep doing me.
Yep. You do
there
that,
you
man.
Go.
You do that, dude.
And then she can go out and find less because she needs less.
I hope that she finds less.
She will.
She needs less herp. That's what she needs.
She will. She definitely will.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, you guys, I'm a little conflicted by some technology here, okay? And I told you guys how excited I have been to finally get a Waymo, right? This weekend it happened. And I don't know what part of the country you guys might be living in, but here in Atlanta, you can only pretty much get Waymos in one area of the city, downtown or, the downtown area. They're not even going on the highways yet or anything like that. And if you don't know what Waymo is, it's a driverless Uber. It's a driverless car, right? I was in Austin a couple of weeks ago, and it's like every fifth car is a Waymo because it's so tech savvy there. I'm hearing the same thing in California. In Atlanta, it's pretty new. I was excited to get in one, man. I think here's where I get conflicted, that I'm looking at the technology. I see the technology, and I think it's just a matter of time before more often than not, a Waymo is going to be picking you up than it is an Uber driver, which makes me sad on one hand, because these are human beings that are trying to earn a living. And I think there are like 6 million Uber drivers around the world that inevitably could be out of work, right? And that sucks. Mm-hmm. That sucks. But the technology to me, it was like hitting the lottery. And we'll talk more about it tomorrow, because I know Mikey's got beef with me in his Waymo. But getting into it was so exciting for me. And it really felt like every turn, watching the steering wheel turn by itself, felt like a roller coaster ride. Like, oh my God, we were going like towards a fire truck, but it knew like stop when you're supposed to stop. Then it backed up by itself, worked its way around a parking lot, and then went around the back to Tongue and Groove's entrance. So it knew it all, right? And everybody else in the car was like freaking out about it. They weren't really ready for it. But when I got out, I started to think about it. And I almost hate this because I do like humans quite a bit. But there is the human factor in driving a car. Like, you don't know who the driver is. You don't know if they're distracted, if they just got in a fight with their husband or their wife. Something's going on in their life that isn't keeping them quite focused on the road, right? Then you look at Waymo, who is... it's just completely focused. It doesn't have emotion. It's just taking in its surroundings. It is very focused. Are you safer in a Waymo? And I haven't seen a lot of accidents with Waymos. What they're getting in trouble for is they get confused by like a construction sites and stuff like that, or they'll stall out. But there hasn't been a lot of like accidents, head-on accidents that it's misinterpreting, right? So at the end of the day, at the end of the drive, I was like, and I hate to say this because it's humans, I might feel a little bit safer in a Waymo at some point.
Whoa, really?
Yes.
I mean, I know there's human error, but there's also computer error
sure,
as well.
Sure.
But I'm wondering, like, statistically, mm-hmm. what the comparison is.
And it's still in its infant stages. We have to remember that about Waymo right now is that this is, in 5 years, this is going to look completely different. And it'll be even more advanced. So I think with any new technology, you're going to have, like, a fender bender. It's going to stall from time to time. We just haven't, even now, in the infant stages, haven't seen disastrous results just yet. And I was wondering, like, am I going to feel safer in a Waymo than I would with a human driver? And that sucks.
So my worry is this, because Teslas have had self-driving and I've had the privilege of like trying it out. And it's the same kind of thing. right? But you're supposed to be watching the road as well as the driver, but the car drives for you, it turns, all that crazy stuff.
And by the way, there are so many cameras in those cars, like, they knew that we had too many people in the car, so a woman's voice, a real person that we were interacting with is like, yo, you guys got too many people in the car, you need to get out. And then we were starting to ask questions about Waymo that she was answering. So there are cameras, it's not completely self-sufficient yet.
Right, and in Teslas, there are cameras inside the car too, like you can remote view and all that stuff, and that's how it knows whether or not you're watching the road, and the Tesla will actually pull over if you're not paying attention to the road. It'll stop the self-driving. But my problem is, and I'm speaking specifically for Teslas, but it has to do with self-driving. They did tests with kids running out in the street, and the Teslas didn't recognize them in time sometimes in the tests. And I don't know, they may have rectified it. It might be an old test, but I think my thing is, yes, Kristen's right. Computers can make errors as well, just like humans. And what worries me is that there is no human in the Waymo to sort of be that second set of eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I know how to get around construction. I've seen them stuck at left turns when there's a lot of traffic, stuff like that. And so I think I would love to see this relationship between humans and computers where they're both needed to create an actually really safe environment. I've seen people stuck in Waymo, unable to get out, it pulled out, or it was a driverless car, I don't know, Waymo specifically, on the side of the highway, and they couldn't get out because for safety, the doors were locked and nobody was answering at the time. And so I just, yeah, we're in the infancy and we're not there, but I think the perfect future has both people, like people and computers working together.
Have you been in one? Because you're in that part of town way more than I am.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten a Waymo yet, because I'm under the impression that when you get your Uber, it gives you the option to get a Waymo, and every single time it's like, yeah, you're going too far. You out in the streets, girl.
Your generation is going to be able to look at so many things that you've lived through. I mean, the technology that you're living through right now, AI, driverless cars, you lived through a pandemic also. When history is going to look back at your generation and go, they had a rough...
trust me, we've been having it rough. But as Cassie was talking, I was
just... Millennials would like a word.
Yeah, right.
As you were talking, I was just picturing, like, telling my brother's grandkids, like, yeah, back in my day, like, it was shocking when you got into the car and there was no driver. Now it's just normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be like, all right, let's get you to bed, Grandma.
The Bird Show.
If you find yourself in the same boat as me thinking, I am a bad mom, I have a bad kid, guess what? You're not. You're the best mom ever. And you're raising the most incredible kid ever, because I have scientific proof that we are not bad moms.
Now, some of you are. Some of you do have bad kids, and some of you are bad parents. But mostly, yeah. Science is going to prove safety net for most of you guys.
And they're not bad. They're just spirited, okay? So ever since Jimmy has started pre-K, he comes home and has been having some meltdowns. We've been having a lot of tantrums, right? And to the point, I didn't know if or when this day was going to come. Like, I have seen it in the movies and on TV shows.
Where you wanted to give them to the neighbors?
No. When the mom's like, she's not on the verge of losing it. She has lost it. Mm-hmm. She's been pushed over to the edge and she locks herself in the bathroom. And I had to do that. Last week, I literally had to walk into the bathroom. I actually sat on the floor with my back against the door, like trying to like stifle the tears and doing the Shining Hearts breath, which my son has also learned. And you're like, and then counting the breaths.
Is it possible just from the outside looking in? I mean, he's got some major changes here with school and everything. The schedule is off. Is that something?
So it's not this that the schedule is off. But I was obviously conversing with my husband about this. Like, dude, I don't know. I know I'm his safe space, right? Like, most kids act out around their mom or around their parents because we're their safe space. It's that unconditional love. They can act a fool because they know that we're going to love them. And they feel safe, which is lovely. But at the same time, it drives you crazy because I'm like, everybody else gets this sweet, effervescent child. And I'm the one over here getting whining incessantly and crying about every little thing, right?
Okay, I think this is a pertinent question. Does he do this around Bart also, or are you the safety net? Like, he knows he's coming to mama for comfort.
I am definitely like comfort for sure. I mean, Bart is a safe space, but I am the safest space.
That's usually how it goes.
That is very, very apparent. So ever since pre-K started, he was coming home, and I know he was tired and whatnot, but my God, y'all, we had a couple of days of these tantrums that I'm like, screaming and like take him up to his room and like trying to calm down and like having to remove myself from the situation. And then finally he's ready to do his breathing. But it was, I mean, my cortisol was through the roof. My shoulders were up into my ears. I'm like, what am I doing wrong as a parent? What is going on with my kid, right? And so I'm explaining this to Bart. I'm like, dude, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what's going on. And then my husband sends me a video on Instagram because, you know, now we solve all our problems with TikTok and Instagram, right? So my husband sends me this reel on Insta. He DMs me, and it's from a pediatrician. It's from Dr. Mona, and her handle is PEDS, Peds Talk, Peds Doc Talk, PEDS DOC TALK, and explained perfectly what we are going through and the sense of relief I felt as a mother that I wasn't failing my child was so immense.
There is a name for this. It's called restraint collapse, and it's more common than you think. Hi, I'm Dr. Mona, pediatrician and mom, and I share tips on child health, development, and parenting, so hit that follow button if you're not already. Your child, maybe 3, 5, or 8, has a great day at preschool or school. The teacher says they were so happy and helpful. They had a wonderful day. Then they come home to you and everything seems to fall apart. This might look like tears or tantrums or meltdowns, but it can also show up as defiance with you, irritability, clinginess, or just not acting like themselves. This is restraint collapse. They've been holding it together all day, staying still, following rules, listening to other authority, processing noise, transitions, and social cues. And when they finally get to their safe space, that's you, the release happens. Not because you're doing anything wrong, but because you're their safe space. And kids don't usually say, oh, I'm feeling a little overstimulated or my brain is fried. They show you through their behavior. Think about how you feel after a long day of meetings or being on all day. You get home and maybe you're irritable, or maybe you want to cry, or you want to talk to your partner. Same idea. It's just that kids have less emotional control. So what helps? One, ease the transition. Avoid the 20 questions at pickup. Instead, put your phone down, get down to their level, and use a reconnection phrase. I'm so glad to see you. I missed you all day. Hugs are welcome if they are open to it. Let the car ride or walk home be quiet. Let them lead the energy. Two, offer a soft landing. Give them a snack if they need one. Some kids need silence. Some need movement like jumping into pillows. And some need to draw or build. These are coping skills for decompressing, and you might have to try a few things before you find what helps your child release that energy before it turns into a restraint collapse storm. What's helpful is learning to notice the signs of dysregulation in your child, because it can look different from one kid to the next, even within the same family. Sometimes you can support regulation before things boil over. Other times they need a release, and for some kids, that's a good cry. That happened with my son the other day. He was being very defiant, and that was his restraint collapse. I looked at him and said, "You had a long day. It's hard listening all day. Your brain has been working hard. You can cry if you need to." And he did, in my arms. You don't have to fix this. You just have to be their soft place to land. And remember, restraint collapse can happen in any child. It's not a measure of your parenting. So if this sounds familiar, your child isn't broken. They're just letting it out where they feel the safest.
So it's a compliment.
Yeah, restraint collapse. There's actually a name for it.
Yeah.
And when he sent me that, it made, I mean, it was us to a T.
Sure.
And now it's just given me a different mindset, looking at the situation. And so we have, I don't pepper him with a ton of questions when he gets into the car. We put on his construction song playlist because that's what makes him happy. So he sings the excavator song on the way home. We get home and I just kind of let him set the pace or whatever. And now I just know, I'm like, yeah, the kid, he's just had a long day at work.
It just makes sense. Sometimes when I see some of those, I mean, it smacks me in the face and I'm like, of course that's what it is. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Right? I don't need any kind of PhD for that. Here's Carly. I love this when moms call up to help other moms. She's got a book that centers around this very, not her, but she's read one. Hey, Carly.
So I didn't actually read this. I'm the kid. My mom used this book on me.
Okay.
So it's called Love and Logic: When Your Kids Leave You Speechless by Charles Fay and Jim Fay. it was a book where my mom kind of used these Jedi mind tricks to make me as a kid realize that she's a person and she has feelings too. And so she would say things like, hey, you're draining my energy and things like that. And she swears by this book. Any of like new parents she hears has issues like where their kids are throwing tantrums or different things like that. Like she tells them you need to check out this book.
All right.
Okay,
so I'm
writing this down, Carly. Can you repeat that, please?
Yes. It's called Love and Logic When Your Kids Leave You Speechless by Charles Fay and Jim Fay.
Yeah, Jimmy has left me speechless on one or more one or more occasion. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, the biggest thing I remember after my mom got this book is she kept saying, like, you're draining my energy, which made me realize, like, she's a person and she has, like, her own stuff. Like, as a little kid, like, obviously as an adult now, I'm cognizant of that. But, yeah.
Sure. And you sound like you turned out all right.
I mean, I think I'm a delight.
I bet you did.
Get it. The Bird Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.